In this day of electronic communications, receiving a handwritten note, or even one typed at length, is rare. It takes time. But when parents communicate with their children through personal letters, they can elaborate on thoughts which are only touched upon in daily conversation. Here's the beginning of a letter from Henry Louis Gates, Jr. to his daughters, Maggie and Liza.
I've written to you because of the day when we were driving home and you asked your mother and me just exactly what the civil rights movement had been all about, and I pointed to a motel on Route 2 and said that at one time I could not have stayed there. Your mother could have stayed there, but your mother couldn't have stayed there with me. And you kids looked at us like we were telling you the biggest lie you had ever heard.
This letter is featured in Dory McCullough Lawson's new book, Posterity, Letters of Great Americans to Their Children.
The Henry Louis Gates letter, I just think, is incredible. It illustrates one theme that is throughout a lot of the letters, which is parents having this sense that they want their children to know from where they've come, also having, at the same time, the sense that the child's life will extend beyond them into the future.
Some are writing in the moment, and some are writing for posterity. Some of them are very formal. Some of them are very loving. There's Alexander Graham Bell to Elsie and Marion Daisy Bell, Daisy being her nickname, that's very engaging and yet educating. He wanted to educate. He was always educating his children.
Yes, and he wanted his children to learn by doing. He sends not only the letter describing a stingray to his daughters, but he also sends the tail and the teeth of the stingray through the mail. Then he does, a terrific, very simple illustration of what the stingray looks like, and he says it looks like a sort of like a book with a tail, and that's almost exactly what he draws.
And he makes you feel it must have been fun to be his kid.
Yes, he sure does. And then he sends them corny jokes, and he's just really such a loving and enthusiastic father, which, some of these people are that, and then there are the other extremes, like the Jack London letters.
We can give thanks every day we are not the offspring of Jack London.
We sure can.
All my life I've been overcome with disgust, which has led me to turn pages down, and those pages have been turned down forever. It is my weakness, as I said before. Unless I should accidentally meet you on the street, I doubt if I shall ever see you again. If you should be dying and should ask for me at your bedside, I should surely come. On the other hand, if I were dying, I should not care to have you at my bedside. A ruined colt is a ruined colt, and I do not like ruined colts.
The letters to his daughter, Joan London, are heartbreaking and shocking.
Yeah, he writes one in which he just trashes her mother.
He does. I think he says, your mother was born stupid, stupid she will live, and stupid she will die. They're addressed to the daughter, but he knows that the ex-wife will see these letters, and really what he's saying is against her. And I think that gives another point of the book, that often the parents seem to be writing, they're writing to their children, but they're often writing to themselves, because you can write to your child in a way that you explore your own thoughts and your own ideals and your hopes.
Maybe the funniest one in here is Groucho Marx writing to his son Arthur, who was off serving in the Coast Guard in the Philippines, and he writes it as Duke, Arthur's dog.
Yes, this is a terrific letter from Duke Marx, the dog, and it describes all of the dog's antics in the neighborhood, and it also describes Groucho Marx, and please don't tell him that I've written this letter, because he doesn't know that I can write.
Your father, as you know, and I both live under the same roof. He's not a bad guy, despite the fact that he kicks me occasionally, especially those days when the market goes down. Then he talks as the dog. He has these sexual proclivities, chasing a collie in Beverly Hills, and an Irish setter who goes to early mass every Sunday morning.
And something about Rin Tin Tin, too.
Yeah. My mother was Rin Tin Tin's stand-in, a beautiful redheaded Airedale. Oh, God, the guy was funny. Oh, and bad puns.
Was.
Bad puns. I mean, it wouldn't be Groucho without bad puns. He closes it. Well, take care of yourself. That's the least you can do. Well, then, yeah, that's... What about letters from Pulitzer Prize-winning historian, biographer, and documentary narrator David McCullough to Dory McCullough Lawson?
There aren't any.
Well, how can that be?
Well, it's the predicament of the modern age. It was a problem I ran up against a lot when I tried to get letters from current great Americans. There really just are very, very few. I do have some short notes from him. My mother is really the letter writer of the family, but there really aren't any.
Email has killed books of correspondence.
Email has changed it very, very much, and the telephone. I think the telephone is the biggest depleter of letters, and this book is a book that won't happen again in the future.
Yeah, you won't see a book called IMs from My Father. So I'm glad you did this.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, and good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Dory McCullough Lawson, author of Posterity, Letters of Great Americans to Their Children. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.